May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. I would take it as a personal favor if you would mute your cell phones at this point. So, on the second day of Christmas, we always get two turtle doves. On the second Sunday of Advent, we always get the wild and woolly John the Baptizer. I love John the Baptizer. I call him that so that y'all won't think he belongs to the Baptist church. He belongs to all the churches. John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey, whatever he could gather out there in the wilderness. John cried out, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And all these people came to him to be baptized. Did you ever wonder what all those people were doing out in the wilderness? That question may sound a little bit facetious, but the answer, I think, can be quite instructive. We now know that there were a number of apocalyptic religious movements centered in that wilderness area between Jerusalem and the Dead Sea. These apocalyptic movements were watching and waiting for a Messiah who would usher in the day of the Lord and bring to fruition that lovely vision that we just heard from the prophet Isaiah. It's quite possible that John the Baptizer was a member of one of those groups when he got the word from God that a greater prophet was coming, that the kingdom of heaven had drawn near. And he began calling his fellow seekers in the wilderness to repent. And they came to be baptized. Now, this is not our holy baptism of our font and covenant. John took an ancient cleansing ritual and infused it with new meaning. It was a cleansing in preparation for the kingdom of heaven, but it was not yet connected with Jesus and his gift of adoption into the household of God. So, what is this repentance, and how does it prepare for the reality that the kingdom of heaven has drawn near? Repentance is more than that feeling that you're really, really sorry and you're not going to do it again, whatever it is. Repentance is a change in your mind. Not a change of mind, but a change in your mind. It's wrapping your head around something in a whole new way. It is mapping a new route through your life because the destination has changed. Because the kingdom of heaven has drawn near, our new destination is that peaceable kingdom of Isaiah's vision. Imagine that. We are headed to God's holy mountain. The peaceable kingdom becomes our destination when we repent, that place where the sheep have become fierce and have banded together to claim their right for peace and justice. Our new destination is that place where the wolves and the lions and the bears have become sweet. And even the venom of vipers is used only for healing. Let me paint a real-life picture of what that can look like. My friend and seminary classmate, Mother Kelsey Hutto, is the priest in charge of a small Episcopal church in Bean Blossom, Indiana. You may have heard of St. David's. They've been in the news because of what happened there the Sunday after the election. The organist of St. David's arrived early that morning and found that the church had been vandalized overnight. Someone had spray painted a swastika and the words "Heil Trump" and "Fag Church" on the building. imagine how that felt to the parishioners to come to church that day and see that ugliness there on the side of their church building. Imagine what it would feel like to walk up and see that ugliness on the side of our beloved church building. The first instinct would be to scrub that filth right off the walls as soon as possible. The second instinct, at least for me, because as much as I would like to be a sweet wolf, sometimes I'm not. The second instinct would be to lash out at the perpetrators. But Mother Kelsey, the leadership of St. David's, chose another way, a way of repentance. They did not rush to remove the hateful words and symbols from the walls of their church. They chose not to allow hate to define that day. Repentance for them meant wrapping their heads around hate in a totally new way. Kelsey and the parishioners of St. David's left the graffiti up on the walls of their church for 3 weeks for all the community to see, not looking away from the works of darkness that visited them. They decided instead to replace darkness with light and to overcome hate with love. Their destination became the peaceable kingdom, where those symbols of hate were denied power by the courage and love of the people of St. David's and of the community that rallied around them to support them in this dark time. The swastika and the hate speech became symbols of St. David's strength to love, to borrow the words of Martin Luther King Jr. On Wednesday of this past week, St. David's invited their whole community to a healing service, and together they cleaned away those transformed symbols and celebrated their courage and the love of their neighbors and their community. The very venom of the viper became a healing and life-giving balm, drawing the whole community together because of the repentance of St. David's, repentance that wasn't remorse for wrongdoing, as we so often think of repentance, but repentance that put them on a path to the nearness of the kingdom of heaven, that peaceable kingdom. Thanks be God, we have not had to face that sort of attack here at Holy Trinity. But many of you have come through times of deep, deep tragedy, confusion, and sometimes regrettable division. I would ask you to daydream with God for a bit, just like Isaiah did, to seek the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. In that spirit, daydream with God about one element of our life together as a parish that might benefit from looking fearlessly into the darkness and finding a new way through that darkness to the kingdom of heaven. Daydream with God about the ways in which we are separated from each other. If there is something in our common life that doesn't look right to you, ask God to help you imagine how to get to the way it ought to be. Maybe separation here is as simple as the divide between young and old or 8 o'clock and 10:30. Maybe it's the tension between your desire to have breakfast with your regular crew and the call to invite someone new into the circle at your breakfast table. And that might mean spreading out in the parish hall instead of filling up each table with your regular friends. Maybe the separations are created by the changes that come with having a new priest and the grief that comes with those changes. These may seem like small things in this time of political transition on a national and global scale, but they are things that are present in our common life. Can you identify one communal issue and begin praying for it daily? Will you be open to how God might direct your time and actions to moving in a new direction? Are you willing to ask for the strength and the courage to replace darkness with light and change course for the peaceable kingdom? Advent is a time to make room for Christ's arrival, to be surprised again that God was willing to enter into our lives and into history and to take on our vulnerability in order to give us hope that we can overcome all the separation that exists in the world. If we can find new ways to think about the things that divide us, and if we can find concrete ways to change our course, I think we'll be doing Advent just about right. If we're willing to repent and turn to the Lord, God will teach us how to see things in a new way. God will lead us to a new destination. This Advent, let's set course for the land of fierce sheep and sweet wolves. Who knows? Maybe we'll spend Christmas in the peaceable kingdom.